got Texas Hold'em going here, boys. So take a look at your cards. See what you got.
Looking good.
Good to go. Bet 'em up, buddies. Bet 'em up.
Oh, man. Martin's feeling good, man.
Yeah, man.
Martin, why are you feeling so good? It doesn't have anything to do with that RFS2, does it?
No, I got 10 rims right here, man. Doing good.
Oh, 10 rims.
So, Mark, are you getting the tour yesterday for the big deal?
We did a tour at the plant. Went really well. We're still producing, trying to weather through this storm. Waiting
you
for the tax
selling call. Anything? Or?
Yeah, we are. We have a few customers that we're still keeping supplied.
B99?
B99.
So you're the big gambler here.
I've been gambling all year. So.
Are you running right now? I'm running a little bit as well, and I can tell you, you might appreciate this. I actually got a mildly enthusiastic call from my investors on Thursday about RFS2, so very happy, as were the guys at the plant. So everybody's starting to feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I did as well. I mean, I think it's a key milestone for us in trying to get something passed. It's sort of the 50-50 odds here. If I would get some better cards, it might help. But,
exactly. You know, guys, I also got some pretty good calls, too, because you know, our business has been suffering at the terminals because without the energy credit, the excise tax credit, the RFS2, nobody seems to want to blend this stuff right now. But now people are starting to call us and say, hey, what about those terminals, Jess? Can we blend at those terminals? Looks pretty good. All right, guys, we got the flop here, so take a look at your cards, make another bet.
Well, you guys think you've got some good news, but I'm going to kick it up. Texas legislature has definitely been kicking in some good cards for the industry. We had a couple great things happen this session, Jess. I don't know if you guys were paying attention, but we set up a bioenergy council in the state of Texas, and Texas has got some, or biodiesel has got some better than house odds. Let me tell you, we've got two members of that council that are right from our industry. We have state legislators that are members of that council that are you know, have used biodiesel, know biodiesel, and support biodiesel. That's a good thing.
So Jeff Truxas is on that committee.
Jeff
right?
Truxas is on that committee.
He is the committee.
He is the committee.
Yeah, if you ask him.
Who does he work for again?
I think he works for Martin.
Oh, okay. Nah, he works for me.
All right, guys, what do you got? Show your hand here. I got two pair.
I got nothing.
I got a pair of aces.
It's a shame that the dealer has.
It's like you're stacking the deck.
I thought to tell legislative stories and get you guys out.
Pay some people I owe money to, right?
Mike, is that going to be a model for other states, or is that sort of how are you guys working that?
I'll tell you, the idea of having a bioenergy council is a good thing. In Texas, I think it's going to help. I think the council is designed to help dispel some of the mythology about biofuels, focus on what's important to the state. So feedstock development is going to be a big issue. And then taking a hard look at a blending requirement. And in a mammoth diesel market like Texas, a blending requirement obviously is a huge game changer. So I think that kind of policy council is a good model for the rest
of the country. Well, you know what else is good about Texas? And this isn't true of many states, as you know. We have a complete exemption from our state excise tax for that biodiesel portion of the blend. That's 20 cents a gallon savings for anybody who wants to blend it up. That's got to affect you positively.
That's huge. I mean, a lot of our customers, that's what they thrive on, is saving that excise tax. So it makes a big impact.
Just a little bit.
That's right. And, you know, there's been a lot of questions about, well, how's that work? You know, how do you
still labeling?
How do you label the pump and how do you invoice? And if you looked at the law right now as it was on the books, it asked you to round to the nearest 10th percent. And that's not exactly practical. So the good news is the state comptroller's office has been working hard directly with industry, a lot of folks at this table. And we're working on a proposal right now that should be final by mid-year that it would help us kind of label and invoice in brackets, in 5% brackets. So that gives some flexibility and keeps the state whole on taxes. So that's a really good development.
That's great. That's great to hear. And that's hardwired into our Texas tax code, so it's not going away at all.
All right. What's everybody doing on feedstocks these days?
Mostly, well, we have a limited choice right now, but mostly tallow.
That's what we're using, beef tallow. Yep.
You guys see any changes, Jess? You're working with the motor industry pretty heavily. Are you guys running a little bit of everything?
I tell you, the only big change we've seen over the past year is more people willing to use recycled product and a little bit more people trying to distill that product to make it look a little bit better. But people are really working on this thing. We've seen some plants come back to life, especially here in Texas, and some more on the way. We've got calls that people are getting ready to restart some plants that have been down for over a year. That's been tough because Texas is, we have over 700 million gallons of production capability, And it's always a question to me, do I leave them on the list if they shut down? Do I take them off? I leave them there right now thinking, well, maybe somebody will bring them back. And sure enough, they're starting to bring them back.
Let's see some cards there, Jess.
All right.
Mike, how are you going to use the new sort of commission to influence Washington? I mean, we've now got some push for Texas, and then we've got our Texas senators and Texas representatives up there, and sometimes we get support and sometimes we don't.
Well, I think, you know, avoiding confusion about different kinds of alternative fuels is the key, and talking about what our strengths. We're going to emphasize our strengths. We're not going to be negative about other folks, but, you know, some of the issues that exist on some of these scores and some of the feed versus fuel debates, we don't really have, and I think that's important. We have to use that for communication. We're not going to use it to bash anybody else. We're going to do what we've always done good in the biodiesel industry, which is talk about why we're good.
So as soon as we educate Martin on how to play cards, you can educate everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. So,
guys, I only
gamble
with my
career. Good. Come on, baby.
Right. Really gamble with your career.
Take care of us.
Well, here comes the flop.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of flops.
I hope you're talking about yourself.
We need to do a lot better job at grabbing some government money from these clean diesel grant guys.
You're right.
Last year was pitiful. We had two or three grants come through, and according to Tom Verry, biodiesel only got 0.8% of one of the hundreds of millions of dollars worth of grants. This past December, we only had two guys apply for the clean diesel grant.
Right.
And these are grants that will pay for the incremental cost of biodiesel in the use of public and private fleets. They even paid for the cost of low rolling resistance tires. Guys could have gotten free tires for their trucks. How could I not sell that? But guess what? It was a flop. This didn't work. People didn't believe it. They didn't want to apply for it.
Yeah, that outreach is going to be important. I'll tell you, one of those good cards we got in the session that will help us develop market in Texas is for the first time, the state of Texas fleet, that's over 27,000 vehicles, okay? Half of that fleet has to be using an alternative fuel, and biodiesel B20 is included in that definition. So they're an opportunity for outreach and education as part of that legislation to go in there and get people thinking about biodiesel conversion. There's other kinds of conversion that makes sense, but biodiesel doesn't require conversion. Right. Biodiesel conversion means you put the biodiesel in the vehicle you already have, and that's a wonderful thing.
It's a pour-and-go technology. You pour it in and go with it.
And given that the legislation actually requires those state agencies to evaluate cost, and the cost of conversion is going to count against a fuel strategy, I think biodiesel should be well situated. So we're hoping to get out there, outreach, maybe we'll get something done under that requirement.
It's a new pipeline. I mean, I think that the biggest thing right now is what are we going to do to influence our ability to get biodiesel in the pipeline system?
That's where I'm located. That's where I want to see as well.
We do too. So,
you know what I'd love to see? How about a biodiesel fuel drilling rig?
They want to buy biodiesel. I'm all for it.
I have the motto, save the oil for your customers, right?
There you go.
You burn biodiesel in your drilling rig. Save that oil for the customers.
Yep.
What do you think?
Come in, I'll do it. What do we got?
Speaking of pipeline.
All right. Here comes the turn.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Any help to anybody? I don't think so.
I think he's stuck.
Okay, I think you guys are going to have to keep up now.
Oh, goodness.
I'll see that.
I'll have to call there.
I'm two beers in.
You're behind already.
So what about this blender's credit, boys?
Oh, that's where Truxus has to come in. He should be up here talking. But as Joe has said, maybe we'll get something done end of this month. I mean, the sooner the better.
Sooner the better. Retroactive?
Well, I think we have to have retroactive.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot.
I'm counting on it.
You're really betting on it, right?
I think we've had a lot of. I think everybody's had a ton of people that have bet on it. And, you know, we certainly applaud the work that everybody's done this far, but we're halfway there. I mean, without the RFS2, it's a great milestone. Without the tax credit, and if it's not retroactive, we all have problems. So I think this game will be a little bit higher stakes than it is now.
Would be a tremendous setback to the industry for not to be retroactive for whether you're a producer that's currently running or whether you idle. I think it's just a tremendous blow to the industry. And I think it would complicate the tax code for the IRS to have a lapse in the tax credit for 2 months. I mean, it makes sense that it would be retroactive.
So if you let them complicate it, they will. Believe it. Take pride in that.
That's true.
They will. But this reminds me, at the end, you know, when we first got the buck, Jess, you know, we passed, everybody was excited, and all of a sudden it was just crickets. So nobody knew. All the attorneys were reading through the document. This isn't a small one, as we all know.
Right.
And how do we do it? What do we report? And then slowly, with about 3 weeks to a month and a half, you start to see transactions going with the dollar. So I expect the same thing to happen on RFS too.
That's right.
They have all the attorneys figured out for.
I'll say, what would you do without us?
Yeah, I don't
especially
know.
At sitting at a poker table.
You do it for free though, right?
At this point, we are.
That's right.
It's a hobby. It's all a hobby for us.
Our credit's really good, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
So about the RFS too. Now, one of the things that's concerned me because I kind of keep track of the terminals that dispense biodiesel. And over the several years we've been tracking, we've gone up from maybe 30 to 70-something terminals. But there hasn't been a lot of growth in terminals where biodiesel is blended. Any thoughts on how the industry is going to comply with this huge standard now that they have to meet in such a short amount of time?
No, I think all of the majors, from a CapEx standpoint, is deciding, look, tell us what we need to do so we know where to deploy the capital. Do I need to put millions of dollars across 15, 20 racks, or I'm going to blend in one large tank and aggregate it in one location? They've been really, I think, as much in the dark as all of us, and now that we have a little bit of a guide path, I think you'll start seeing that happen.
Martin and I like to play poker in almost every state, but especially in D.C., and we're spending a lot of time there. And so I think we've seen that. I mean, I think we've had meetings with a lot of people where basically they say, we're ready to comply, we're ready to do whatever, give us some direction, and we're there. So we haven't seen from any of the majors, anybody saying, you know, we're not going to do that. We're not willing to spend the money. We're happy to embrace this, but we need some guidance.
Right. I think the bluffing's over. I mean, I think we have a standard, and I think people are going to get down in the trenches and start working on it.
You're right.
I think it's going to be a simple issue of quality. So consistent quality product. You know, there's so much of the industry was the mom and pop and very small facilities for a long time, and you have majors that need to buy in a sufficient quantity. And they're looking for a consistent, high-quality product. So you need some of the larger facilities, such as what Martin and I have to step up to the plate and make a consistent, quality product.
Right. And you're doing it every day where you are.
Absolutely. We're BQ9000, and I think the BQ9000 quality program has really proved to be very effective at getting some of the larger players on board. Most of our customers would only buy from us with us being BQ9000. So quality is very important. You know, people will embrace biodiesel, but they don't want to have problems in their vehicles. And so quality is first and foremost the important thing.
No, I think that B5 standard really helped us do that. Because
absolutely.
Now there's not an OEM question. B5 is a standard. ASTM, B5 equals diesel. All the OEMs that were out here supporting it. So I think that baseline gives people some confidence to go forward.
All right. Quality cards. Quality fuel.
Oh, by the way, just Mike. We've got the B5 VW Jetta TDI race car downstairs for this event, so it's right there. So, you know, right. VW is all in for biodiesel. Speaking of being all in, I am all in, guys.
Oh, man.
It's up to you.
Feel good about this.
Rich. Ah, what the heck. I'm
you're all in.
I'll fall.
Come on, you guys are in the biodiesel business. Of course you're all in.
Actually, have it.